Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8. And we'll read the last five verses of the chapter, beginning in verse number 34. And when he, that is Jesus, had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. My text this morning is verse number 36, where we have one of the most solemn questions that we could ever consider, which was ever asked. There are several ways that you can know the importance of a question. You can know the importance of a question by the subject with which it deals. And do you not feel that the subject of verse 36 is the most important subject we could address? What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can also know the importance of a question by the person who asks the question. And the one asking this question is none other than the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is therefore the most important question we could consider this morning. You see that the question in verse 36 has no answer. It has no answer because it's more than just a question. It's a warning. The answer is obvious. And the warning is simply this. Do not neglect your soul. Do not neglect your soul. I have four observations to make from Mark 8:36. In the first place, I want us to consider this. You have a soul. You have a soul. Let us establish in our minds this great fact that there is something within you that will never die. Your body is not all of you. Your body, which you take so much care and so much time in grooming and dressing and feeding and resting, your body is not your whole man. There is something within you that will live forever. We busy ourselves with our bodies to make them comfortable, to make them appear attractive. And we too often neglect that the body houses a more noble occupant, and that occupant is your immortal, never-dying soul. Each of us must die one day. And when that day comes, it will not be our end. When you take your last breath, when you are laid in a memorial service, when the coffin is shut, and the funeral preparations have been made and are finished, when you are laid in your grave, you will continue to live. You have a never-dying soul. The Word of God is abundantly clear on this point. Remember that penitent thief on the cross who said to our Lord, "Receive me into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Certainly that man had an undying soul. Remember Stephen, the first Christian martyr, as he's being stoned for his faith, he cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That man had a never-dying soul. Remember the believing beggar Lazarus, who when he died was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, and the unbelieving wicked rich man, from whose table he ate crumbs, awoke in torments. They had never dying souls. Just two nights ago, in our family worship at home, we were reading in the book of Genesis of Isaac's death. And it said of Isaac, he was gathered unto his people. Isaac had an undying soul. Keep this ever before your minds. When you awake in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, remind yourself, this world is not all there is. All around us, we see a struggle for temporal things. We're hemmed in on every side by the cares of this world. And we too often neglect the fact that we have a soul. So live with this realization. The life that I live is not all. There is more to life than school and business and pleasure and money and sports and entertainment. There is more to life than that. I have a soul. In the second place, our text teaches us this. Not only do you have a soul, but your soul is more valuable than the whole world. Your soul is more valuable than the whole world. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it for a man to gain the world and forfeit his immortal soul? Envision a balance. On one side of the balance is your own single individual soul. And on the other side of the balance is the whole world. All of its pleasures, all of its comforts, all of its beauties. And which one outweighs the other? Jesus says, it is your soul. Surely he who created your soul, and he who has purchased innumerable souls by his atoning death, knows the true value of a soul. He's telling the truth. Your soul is more valuable than the whole world. It's more valuable than the whole world because the world is uncertain. Notice the if in verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? And that's a large if. Because we know that no one has ever yet, nor will they ever, gain the whole world. All an unspiritual man can hope for is to gain a small fraction of the world. And even what he gains is very uncertain. All sorts of circumstances and situations could come in to deprive ourselves of all of our worldly gain, of all of our accomplishments, all of our attainments, all of our possessions, all of the esteem that we think we have built up with others. It can be gone in a flash. Don't forget Job, the richest man in the East, and yet he lost everything in a day, even an hour. The world is uncertain, and yet it is certain that you have a soul, and that you will have it forever, and that it will never die. Therefore, your soul is much more valuable than the world. Not only is the world uncertain, but the world is temporary. John said, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Surely that which lasts forever is worth more than that which lasts a little. And in the true sense of things, the world, with all of its pomp and glory, lasts for only a few minutes, while your soul lasts forever and ever and ever. The world will one day come to an end, and you will one day die. And all of your possessions, and all of your worldly attainments, and all of the esteem you have with others, it'll all die with you. The world and the gain of the world is only temporary. Therefore, do not neglect your soul for the world. Not only is the world uncertain and temporary, it is unsatisfying. The gain acquired in this world will only disappoint you. Solomon said that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And if the word of God needed confirmation, which it doesn't, there are enough miserable rich people in the world to confirm to us the truth that this world does not satisfy. You can live your life for this world. You can live your life for pleasure and for wealth and for comfort and to gain human resources. And you can put all of your hope and all of your trust and all of your security and the things of this world. But listen to me, they will let you down in the hour when you need it most. Because it is certain that we cannot take things with us when we die. So in the hour of your death, when you need hope and security more than at any other point in your life, you are not going to get it from the world. The only thing you will take with you in that moment is your relationship with God and what you have done with your soul. The world does not satisfy. Therefore, your soul is of much more value than the world. The third observation I have to make is this. Not only do we have a soul, and not only is your soul more valuable than the whole world, but your soul may be lost. We've assumed this all along, but I must now state it. Jesus speaks about losing your soul. You are in peril of God breaking in on you this moment and requiring from you your never dying soul. Remember that wicked rich man who lived for this life to the neglect of his soul and woke up in torments. Jesus said, "Fear not him which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You who have lived in long neglect of your soul are in danger of losing your soul. Our sin will result in the loss of our souls. It will result in our separation from God for all eternity. God said in the book of Isaiah that your sins have separated between me and thee. God is holy and just, and he must punish sin. He must render justice to sinners. And so you who have neglected your soul are in peril of suffering loss for all eternity. Your soul may be lost, lost forever, lost irrevocably, heaven lost, happiness lost, all hope lost. Your soul may be lost. In particular, I must warn you of two ways that many people lose their souls. Many people lose their souls because of a love for this world. That is obvious in our text. Clearly, from these words of Jesus, there is an antithesis. There are opposite things here between having your soul and having the world. It's as if Jesus says that those who live for the lusts and the pleasures of this world will make that bargain at an awful price. They will gain it to the harm and to the loss of their souls. They'll forfeit their own souls by their love of this world. So what do you live for? To you who neglect your souls, the Bible is a closed book. Because you don't care about your soul. Prayer is completely foreign because you're neglecting your soul. The love of this world is choking and starving off your soul. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, God and money. So beware of living for this world and caring not for the things of God and the things of your soul. That is one way many people have lost their souls. Another way to lose your soul is through presumption. Many people live assuming that they will have time and desire later to live for the care of their souls. This may be a temptation to you right now as I talk to you. You may think that you can live for your soul later, that you can care for this at another time, perhaps during college, perhaps when you're married, perhaps when you have children, perhaps when you retire. Then you can care for your soul. But I need not remind you that you are not guaranteed another day. And you are especially never guaranteed that you will ever want to care for your soul ever again. Sin has a hardening and deceitful reign to it. You do not rule over your sin. Your sin always rules over you. It will blind you. It will deceive you. It will harden you. And the more you continue in neglect of your soul, the more likely it is that you will never care for your soul. So God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You see, it's not hard to lose your soul. In fact, you don't have to do anything to lose your soul. It's a downhill journey all the way. Just go with the flow. Just float downstream. Don't do anything for your soul and you'll lose it. There are many things you cannot do, but there is one thing you can do. You can lose your soul, and you can lose it by doing nothing. And that's another thing that is very clear in our text. If you lose your soul, it will be your responsibility that is lost. It will be you who lost your soul. Your soul may be lost. Do not neglect your soul. You have a soul. Your soul is more valuable than the whole world. You may lose your soul, but I must finish by telling you that your soul may be saved. Blessed be God, that after all the solemn and serious things I have had to tell you this morning from God's word, that I can finish with a message of peace, that your soul may be saved. Is that this the whole reason why Jesus asked the question in the first place? There is salvation for souls provided in him. Your soul may be saved because Jesus died. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus, in his death, was the great substitute for sinners. He took their place. All of the sins of all the people who would ever believe on Jesus Christ, and all the wrath that was due to them for their sins, all that loss was poured out on Jesus Christ in that moment. And then those who believe on Christ are reckoned righteous, counted righteous in him. They're justified. They can be right with God because he is their substitute. And all of his life of obedience and righteousness is reckoned theirs, and all of their sins are reckoned his, and they're paid for by his death on the cross as a substitute, as an atonement, as a covering. Jesus has died. Therefore, your soul may be saved. It does not have to be a loss for you. You do not have to forfeit your never-dying soul. You do not have to suffer loss, the greatest loss a man can endure. Your soul may be saved because Jesus has died. And not only that, but your soul may be saved because Jesus lives. He rose from the dead, ascended up on high, and now is exalted at the right hand of God. He's there to welcome unto the Father all those that come to God by him. He's there as their great shepherd, their advocate on high, their high priest who is willing to forgive all of their sins and his tender mercies, as that gentle, tender Savior who will not break a bruised reed nor quench a smoking flax. He lives to receive sinful men. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he has not changed at all. He still seeks and saves those who are lost, and all those who come to the Father by him, God receives. He's the way and the truth and the life. Your soul may be saved because Jesus lives. So is it well with your soul? Would you like to have your conscience, your heavy, burdened conscience, relieved by our sympathetic Savior who has made a covering for your sin? Come to Christ. He will not despise you. He will not turn his back on you. He will not send you away. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you lived in long neglect of your soul? Has the thought of your soul been absent from your thinking for too long? Do you now realize the great peril of losing your soul? Then trust Christ. His blood will cleanse away all sin. He is a cleansing fountain for all of the defiled ones to come to him for complete cleansing. He'll robe you in his righteousness. He'll accept you. He'll save you. And he'll be your shepherd, your priest, your friend. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow, and your soul can be saved. Do not neglect your soul. You have a soul. Do not neglect your soul. Your soul is more valuable than the whole world. Do not neglect your soul. Your soul may be lost. Don't neglect your soul. Your soul may be saved because Christ has died and Christ ever lives. So do not neglect your soul.